Welcome to Porch Talk. My name is Ted Tate, and I'm sitting here with Sally Adams in her lovely little home with a beautiful view of the Potomac River. Sally, you've got a nice spot here that you've picked to reside in Colonial Beach.
Well, thank you, and thank you, Zillow.
Zillow, that's how you found it?
That is how we found it.
How long ago was that? When did you come to Colonial Beach?
We came to Colonial Beach in September of 2016, so almost three and a half years ago.
Okay.
And, interestingly, we didn't ever anticipate landing in Colonial Beach. We thought we'd be in Williamsburg or possibly Richmond, coming from Oklahoma. Colonial Beach was a gift.
So how did you embark going from Oklahoma to here? What made you start looking in this area at all?
Well, most of my family lives on the East Coast. I have a daughter in New York. I had a daughter in D.C. My son is in Richmond right now. My parents are in Richmond. I have family all over this area.
So clustered in the mid-Atlantic.
Yes. And so we thought, well, what are we doing in Oklahoma? My husband was retired. He was a retired district attorney in Tulsa. And I was getting ready to retire from teaching. I taught for not quite 30 years, but a while.
What kind of students?
I taught drama. I taught middle school drama my last 10 years, but I taught high school and middle school. You know what? You'd be surprised. It's actually turned out to be my favorite age range.
Really?
Was middle school. Yeah. They're just old enough to still be connected to their childhood or young enough and just old enough to be a little bit responsible, or at least learning what that is.
Mm. So. And showing some skills and talents, perhaps.
Showing signs of potential.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so we went to my parents in Richmond and stayed there and looked on Zillow. And it brought us here. And really, we hadn't looked all that hard yet when we rolled into town. And my husband, George, and I both, we just looked at the town and said, we got to end up here.
Hmm.
So.
It's funny you say it like that, because there are several people who've sort of relayed that kind of story to me, where they just stumbled onto Colonial Beach and went, this is it.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you've lived here all your life, and it's true of anybody anywhere. If you live in a place all your life, I think you don't appreciate where you are, and that's natural. It's normal. But I have got to say, this town has something really special going on, and a big part of it is the people we met. The river, obviously, the beach, the small town environment. My husband kept referring to it as Mayberry, which I hear people do from time to time. You know, it's got a quirkiness to it. And I think a big part of my draw was the sense of community that I got just from the first day in. You know, neighbors would, people would talk to you.
Mm.
They never met me. Yeah. What's that?
Everybody waves.
I know. Now I'm one of them. You wave at everybody, whether you know them or not.
That's how I know the tourists from the locals.
They look at you askance when you wave at them. They're like, they give you the stink eye, don't
they?
Well,
no, some of them kind of half raise their hands like, oh, that's what they do here. Okay.
They get surprised. Oh, it's normal. Yeah. But I love it. Yeah.
So that was 2016, so you came up here, you found this house, you're renting this place, but obviously I can see what drew you here. It's the view.
Yeah, we have yet to find a place that we want to invest in that can match this.
But you are planning on staying.
Oh yeah, we're here for the long term.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. And then, so you're both retired now, technically.
Technically.
But.
Sorry, that was my phone.
That's okay. But you're both, you're probably busier than you were when you were a school teacher.
Isn't that the way of it? Every retired person I've known in my life has said that. You know, as soon as you retire, you're busier than you were.
It's a good thing.
It is a good thing. Because now I'm busy doing exactly what I choose and what I want to do.
And part of that is the working for the Chamber of Commerce?
That's the first thing I did in terms of getting any kind of a job. I was looking for something to occupy my time that I that I had the skill set for, which as a producer of plays, which is, I was a drama teacher, but I also produced a lot of plays. That's just something you do, produce events. Mm. And so it was a good fit. And Susan Mack, who is the director there, is a great lady. She's great to work for. So it was a good fit. The two of us sort of, we're the only staff people there. So
right. And I've tried to get Susan to do one of these, but she keeps putting me off, and I'm not quite sure why. But she's maybe
a little anxious about public speaking. Yeah. That's normal, though. I've learned that as a speech and drama teacher. It's so funny, though. Death and taxes, isn't it?
It's so funny, though, because she's so personable. And, you know, when I engage her personally about things about the chamber and whatnot, she'll talk all day long.
And she gets so excited about things. Yes. She's got so much passion and enthusiasm for the work of the chamber. I don't get it, but
we'll keep coaxing her, because I'd like to do one of these with her.
She would be a great.
I know she would.
Great interview. Yeah. We'll try and get her to dip her toes in the water.
So you started with the chamber pretty early on.
I did. It was in the first year we were here, actually. I started in January of 2017. I think that's right. Is that right? Maybe it was 2018. I don't remember. I feel like I've been there forever. But I've been there a while. I think maybe 2017, yeah.
And you're primarily doing events?
That's what I do. I do events, but of course I'm admin as well, since there's always all hands on deck when some things come up. But my primary job, I work 10 hours a week, 10 to 15 hours a week, which is not much during event season. So there are a lot of volunteer hours that you end up doing because,
I was going to say, I see you there a lot more than 10 hours a week.
Yeah. When, like, to the chamber, you know, they're not rolling in the big money. Nah. So
I mean, I see you guys there more than 10 hours a day, never mind 10 hours a week.
So there are sometimes. I know Susan puts in a lot more hours than I do. Even. Yeah. And I put in more than my share. But
you do it because you like it.
I love it. Listen, this year, we have so many exciting things coming up. We do this thing called Potomac River Fest in mm-hmm. June, and it is so much fun. It's the essence of small town festival. There's a parade. There are Peruvian dancers and horses and baton twirlers and all of that stuff.
It seemed to me, now I may be partial because it was the first year that I've ever been directly involved in the Riverfest parade with the radio station having just started.
Right.
But I thought it was bigger and better than ever last year.
Yay! Well, actually it was bigger last year. So we try and grow it a little every year. And this year we've got some really exciting little nuggets of things coming up. I can't tell you everything until...
Right.
You know, but I can tell you one thing we're looking at doing this year.
Okay.
Last year we did a thing we called the jam session on Saturday night, because at 5 o'clock, Town Hill sort of shuts down because the carnival kind of takes over and vendors go off and do whatever. But we wanted to have something in the evening between the vending on the hill and the fireworks over the river later that evening. So we put together a jam session of musicians from the Northern Neck, and we had about 5 bands that came out, and we played separately and together, and that was a lot of fun. And then this year we have more that have reached out, and I've reached out to them, that are interested. In fact, if you are a local band and you're interested in getting involved in this, it's a freebie. You don't get paid for it. But it's a lot of fun. We're going to do it on Town Hill on the Saturday evening of Potomac River Fest. So reach out to me at the chamber, and we're going to have a big pajama party.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like all the musicians coming in their pajamas, and we're going to call it a jammy jam.
Nice.
So it's our big jammy jam session. And that's going to be Saturday at Potomac River Fest, and then we have some other little things
what
planned.
What month? It's June, isn't it?
June. So that'll be one of the things coming up. We've got the earliest thing we have is the Easter egg hunt. Then we have River Fest. Then we have Water Fest in August, which we turned into Pirate and Mermaid Fest. Mm-hmm. Which is now Pirate, Mermaid, and Sea Creature Fest. So it just, that keeps growing and growing. Oh, and the other thing is we have antique oyster skiffs at the Potomac River Fest this year.
Antique oyster skiffs?
They're going to be racing.
Racing?
Little tiny antique oyster skiffs.
Oh my.
They're so cute. So yeah, I talked to the guy who runs this organization. So I beg your pardon, that's my oven, but it's good.
We're not going to burn anything?
No. I turned it off before we started, so we're good. Anyway, there's all this stuff coming up and lots of little things and more of that small town charm.
And we also had, you mentioned the Jammy Jam, and, mm-hmm. and last year we had the Music Fest.
Yes.
As well.
The Northern Neck Beach Music Festival is actually put on by the foundation.
Right.
And the reason I know about that is I've been taking the minutes for the foundation. So I'm not actually on the foundation, but I get
You're
to know what's
secretary.
Going on. Yeah, I'm actually the only staff person the foundation has, and I give them probably 8 to 10 hours a month.
So oh, wow. So multiple
it's not,
jobs.
Yeah, it doesn't really take much out of me, but I like knowing what's going on.
Mm. And are they planning that again this year?
Oh, yes. Oh, okay. Yes. Northern Neck Beach Music Festival is a go.
Excellent.
So
excellent.
Listen for more information about that to come.
I have to say there's a lot of local music scene here. Certainly.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that because I'm a musician, so that's something I care about.
What do you do as a musician?
I play...
I don't know this about you. So.
You don't? No. Oh, my gosh. I play locally quite a lot, in fact.
Okay.
Yeah. Brian Jarbo and I are a music duo, and we occasionally add additional musicians if we want to grow the band, but it's the two of us mostly, and we play at local wineries and breweries and just local venues.
So he plays
guitar,
and you play,
and I sing and play the flute.
Okay.
So
and what style of music?
It's leans to jazz, but we do jazz, blues, a little bit of folk, some rock classics, but we adapt them to our style. So
Jethro Tull with the flute?
I've done a little Jethro Tull. I've done my fair share. We do some pretty groovy rock with that flute, and people are like, wow, I never imagined hearing Hey You on the flute.
You know, so. The only bands I can think of that used the flute back in the day are Jethro Tull and the Moody Blues.
Well, they don't have to have used the flute
right.
for us to...
You can reinvent it.
Yeah. We do some of that. So, and then so we do some original stuff. We have a couple of original videos out there. There's a song called "Put It on the Credit Card," which was we recorded at all these local places, these local stores, and it's out there. It's got a lot of hits, in fact. So
that sounds like fun.
Oh, it's such a silly song. It's such a silly song.
But it's
fun, yeah.
How many people can relate to that?
Right? Oh, my God. Yes, that's why we wrote the song. We were both like,
my bank account's empty. Put it on the credit card.
Yes, put it on the credit card. So check it out, Sally and Brian. Put it on the credit card. And then we did a song last year that we put out. It's kind of become an annual thing, do a video, you know.
That's
called,
fun.
Called I Thought You Were Sleeping, which is a more serious kind of jazz, adult contemporary. And George, my husband, is also a poet, so the lyrics are his.
Nice.
And Brian and I did the music.
And has George found any post-retirement work to do?
Oh my gosh. Since we've been here, he's written a novel.
Oh my.
And a half. He's written two novels and a half since
and published?
We moved. We're working on it.
Yeah, that's
working
hard.
On it. Yeah, they're mysteries. So I think, you know, if he gets down on it, they'll get eaten up by the mystery machine. You know, there's a machine out there that eats cozy mysteries.
There's an audience for that.
Oh, definitely.
That has a voracious appetite. It sounds like.
And he's a solid writer. He's been published before. So.
Excellent.
Yeah. So.
Well, this is the perfect sort of, this is where people go to do that sort of thing, isn't it?
Exactly.
I need to go to a quiet little town by the sea.
I know. So all of my kids write as well. So
really?
My oldest is at Columbia right now. She's a PhD fellow in more of a social studies area, but she writes and she's starting to work on her thesis right now. So she's probably going to come here and do a little writing. My youngest daughter, who lives in Tulsa right now, lived here with me for a little bit, and she wrote a novel while she was living here. She's written four novels, and one of
wow.
them is published, so she's a published novelist. And then Dangerous Fugitives, check it out, by E.A. Hedgecock. And then my son is a playwright, and he's right now in New York for a seminar with David Lindsay Abaire, who wrote the book To Shrek, and he's a Pulitzer Prize winning playwright.
Wow.
And he is kind of a coach of a fellowship group that my son is in. So for whatever reason, the three of them are all storytellers.
Well,
writers.
With a musician and a poet as parents.
It does kind of work.
It's not a stretch to think of the kids.
I guess not. But I feel very grateful because we all get that lifestyle.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But you've also obviously got some business sense because you're doing stuff for the chamber and
oh, don't give me too much credit on the business sense. And I'm more about play than I am about money. So, you know, but yeah, yes, I can organize things for sure.
So with all this volunteer work that you're constantly doing, is there stuff that you do just purely? I know it's fun, but that you do purely for fun?
Well, the music definitely is fun. But
but you're earning money at that too, aren't you?
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you bring that up because I started in 2020, so I've only got 3 episodes up right now, a YouTube channel really just for me that's called Study of One, where I'm looking at 3 different kind of self-help books. One's the Artist Way Compendium for retired people by Julia Cameron. One is by the 2 guys from the D School at Stanford about designing your life. And one is Marie Forleo's book, Everything is Figure Outable. Because my goal was to look and see what is it that I want to create for this new year for myself.
Mm.
And I can't do anybody else's program, and I wouldn't push my program on anyone else. So I said, I'll just do a study of one, and this posting it on YouTube keeps me accountable.
So this is sort of your way of doing a journal?
It is.
To yourself to kind of keep yourself on track?
It is. It's sort of an edited video journal.
Okay.
But what I noticed, because you brought up the play,
mm-hmm.
is that I don't find that I play a lot. I mean, everything I do, I make fun.
Right.
Like, I'm about fun.
Well, I can tell you enjoy doing these things.
I really do. But I notice that I always have an end game in mind. Like, when I'm doing something, it's for a purpose.
You're achieving something.
Exactly. And one of the things that one of these books is talking about is doing something for... I'm sorry about my toxic dog. I mean, I can't help that.
What?
My toxic dog.
What?
You'll notice. It'll come your way.
So for those who... Oh, well, we haven't mentioned it. I didn't introduce one of our guests.
Yes.
Charlie, your lovely 15-year-old?
He is. He's a 15-year-old Rhodesian Ridgeback.
Oh, okay.
And he is a sweetheart of August. He's really a Heinz 57, but he looks more like a Rhodesian Ridgeback. But he is an old man, so he's a bit toxic. And he just shared with us... And I was like, oh, this is going to come Ted's way and it will overpower you. And when his eyes start watering, I'll know it made it over to his side.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
What were we talking about?
Back to play.
Oh,
I noticed that I have a trouble doing things for no reason.
You like having something to achieve.
So I get to look and see through this study of one I'm doing whether or not I need to have I'll tell you one thing I do for no reason. Eat. I do not eat to fuel my body. I eat because I love to eat. It's fun. I cook. I try new things. I like to go out. I don't go out much, but I notice that I don't have an end game in mind when I eat. It's not like I'm going to eat for sustenance or good. If I did, I would eat so much healthier. But
You just spot something that looks tasty in a recipe.
Oh my gosh!
Book or something.
And my mouth says, "Now, must have that food." But you know, I'm a tall woman, so I can get away with a lot. But it's funny. It does make you think. I kind of got philosophical on you. Sorry about that.
No, please. It's fascinating.
I think a lot of us struggle with that, though. Don't you think so? I mean, do you do a lot where you just do it for no reason at all, but just to do it?
I think so. I don't know about a lot. I like you, I am kind of goal-driven, and I like to have do something with a purpose. But yeah, there are things that I do just... because I enjoy doing them, absolutely.
Yeah, well, doing this Artist Way book, I think I'm going to work on doing more of that. You know, just wandering. I wander the beach occasionally looking for sea glass.
I do have a hard time finding the time to set aside to do some of those things, especially as I have gotten into the sort of the volunteering thing here with mm-hmm. the radio station and everything. It's like, well, I could go for a walk on the beach, or I could write that email I've been meaning to write to, you know, yeah. our volunteers.
That's what I mean. Exactly. You see, you get into this volunteering yeah. thing, and yeah. it's, you know, it's a hungry animal.
It very much is.
Gotta feed it.
Yeah. But at the same time, I do understand the absolute importance and need for just downtime mm-hmm. where, to, you know, for the next 20 minutes, I'm just going to sit on the porch and stare at the river.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. See, I don't do that enough.
I probably don't either. But
look where we are.
Yeah, you know? And we're working while we're playing.
Yes,
we get to do both.
This is a smart idea, this porch talk, because you get to see what people look at.
Yeah, and part of it, I mean, I've done it on my porch, certainly, mm-hmm. but I also enjoy going to other people's places to see what they see when they're sitting on their porch or looking out their window, and it helps you to understand what brought them to Colonial Beach or what keeps them in Colonial Beach. I mean, you know, if the view is important to you, then you know, you get to see the view that they're talking about. So that's why we do yeah. it the way we do it.
I think, sorry.
I was just going to say, and if I know you're interested in doing some of these, if you want to go to snoop around people's houses and
that, you know, I hadn't thought of that aspect, but that's such a good idea. I'm going to go and
I hadn't even mentioned to our listeners, you probably recognize Sally's voice already because she's the person who most often does our community calendar announcements.
My husband calls me the calendar girl of WWER.
Oh, nice.
I'm fine with that.
Well, and because of your work with the chamber coordinating events and stuff, you already know about pretty much everything that's going on in town. And that's part of why I asked you if you'd be willing to do it.
Right.
Was
right.
like, well, she's already got the calendar, so all she has to do is read it to us.
Wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah.
I have found some new things, though. There are some things going on that I didn't even know
that's
about.
That's great.
Did you know that there's a mobile maker lab that comes to the library where they have a kids can come and make things, or yeah. adults too, and they have a robot visiting, like, this week, I think.
At the library?
That robot that visits regularly.
A robot at the
like
at
Robbie the robot or
at the,
something
at the library
at our library.
Oh,
yeah,
that's cool.
He visits like once a month or something.
Maybe I need to do an interview with the librarian.
Kitty is the librarian here at Cooper mm-hmm. Library, and she's fantastic. I love her. She knows so much about this town. Yeah,
that's,
I would.
That's
definitely
a good idea. I'll reach out to her.
Yeah, she's great.
See, you've already you've already
I've
me.
Proven my worth.
Absolutely,
I'm a great source. Well, I was going to say one thing about the river,
mm-hmm.
Because I know a lot of people move to the beach and they think the ocean. And my parents lived in Florida for years and years for that reason. But I have got to say, and I'm not alone, I know, that the beach on the river is to me so much more interesting than an ocean beach. And I've been both places. But the river changes so dramatically from day to day. And there are days when we have breakers on the beach and they're just big capsizing waves that are like ocean waves. And there are days when it is like glass.
Right, right. I hadn't thought of it that way.
There's nothing I love so much to see what personality the river has today.
Huh. That's, you're so philosophical.
It comes with age. Comes with age.
So we're running out of time.
Yes.
So I just wanted to see if there's anything else you wanted to add. That you've covered a gamut, and I love your little philosophical nuggets.
Well, good. Well, I have to say, I love meeting people, and if you come by the chamber on a Thursday or Friday, you're bound to find me there. We're on Hawthorne. And I don't know, if you are a business and you want to join, or you just want to find out what the chamber has to offer, come see me. And if you just are looking to know more about Colonial Beach, I've learned a lot in 3 years.
Mm.
It's a really
Do you get a lot of visitors
place.
Who just walk in and ask questions?
Yes.
Yeah.
And phone calls?
Great.
I get some weird questions too. But good, you know, I've got good questions and weird questions, and
great.
They're all good.
Cool. Well, Sally, thank you very much. It's been wonderful having you.
Thank you, Ted. I'm so glad you came by. It's sweet of you to come to my porch.
Thanks for doing Porch Talk with me.
You bet.